More Perfect Union, a podcast about the joy we get from American politics. Real debate without the hate. Hi, I'm Kevin Kelton. I live in Los Angeles, and I'm a moderate Democrat.
Hi, I'm Emily Brewer. I'm a moderate Republican from Virginia.
I'm Greg Matuszak. I'm your liberal Democrat from Cincinnati, Ohio.
And I'm Cliff Dunn. I'm from Newport News, Virginia, and I'm a Hamiltonian Republican.
Whatever that means, okay?
They'll be singing tonight.
We are proud to say that with over 63,000 downloads, averaging over 5,000 downloads a week, our show may just be the fastest growing political podcast on iTunes. So, ladies and gentlemen, we had quite the political week. What do you want to start with?
There's the big story, the DNC in Philadelphia.
Oh, was that this week? That
was this week. Everyone expected riots and tear gas and Godzilla sightings, but...
No, they just took Trump's idea and built a wall.
And you know what? We had the Republicans pay for it, too.
Isn't that crazy?
It was, and that was the best idea we've had in a long time. But really, looking back, it went pretty well, even with such a rocky start. What did you think, Kevin?
I thought it was a fantastic convention. Frankly, the best one I can remember offhand. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate into a bounce, but I think what it does is it established the Democratic campaign. And it established Hillary's bona fides. It established how people are going to campaign for her as surrogates. And I think in that regard, it was very successful.
Yeah. And even with the email scandal, I mean, and it was bad. It was even with the Russians and Trump behind it. I mean, we'll get to that later. And it started terrible with our DNC chair stepping down. And there was a scramble to find out who would gavel us in.
That first day when they booed Sanders at the California breakfast and then they were booing Clinton's name during the speeches, I thought, oh, this is going to go south fast. But
well,
they were able to salvage
John
it.
Lewis.
Yeah.
They booed John Lewis. They booed Sanders. They booed Booker. They booed
everybody.
Yeah, they booed everybody. I mean, loved American iconic figures you put Kermit the Frog up there, they would have booed him. I mean, everybody got booed, and it was really, really rough.
Yep.
You know what the thing was, though, is that I watched almost all of it from start to finish, and I was expecting, okay, I thought the GOP convention was pretty uneventful. Nothing, was really stood out, I don't think. The DNC started off, the first 24 hours were a little sketchy, and then it's like all of a sudden Bernie sent out a special tweet or something. I don't know what he did, but, he calmed the room somehow, and so it just seemed to be, totally a kumbaya session after that.
He probably said, I'm giving you all your $27 back.
there are people that want it back. There are people that want the DNC to reimburse them. I'll tell you, as you fellas know, I have been critical of Bernie Sanders all along. I have not been as enamored of him as others on the left side of the party have been. I was not, frankly, satisfied with how far he went this week. I could be very critical of some of the things that I think he didn't do or he did half-heartedly. And I, for one, am not ready to make amends with Bernie Sanders. And frankly, I don't think he's ready to make amends with me.
So I've got to ask this question, though, real quick, Kevin and Greg. So did you guys watch the roll call vote?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So when Vermont passed, did you know it was going to come down?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or did you have this like feeling? You're like, oh, shit. Like, did you have that moment for a second?
No. Well, first of all, I never curse in my mind, Emily. I have a clean mind. But beyond that, no, because I had heard the reporters on MSNBC had told us what was going to happen. So I knew that he was going to be saying what he did.
It really, when it happened, we were sitting there going, I was like, yeah, that's pretty predictable. It was the walkouts, it was the booing, and it was when he finally got up and he says, hey, cut it out.
No,
stop it.
I got to tell you,
like petulant children.
That's one of the places where I'm just being too hard on this man, but I disagree. If you look at how Hillary Clinton did it 8 years ago, She did it with joy. She smiled. She did it with enthusiasm. And then she stayed there while the celebration was happening.
Okay, but here's the difference, Kevin.
He said it like a grouch, and then he turned around and walked out of the room.
No, here's the difference. The difference is Hillary Clinton at that time was young enough and knew she was going to run for president again. Bernie Sanders is 74. He doesn't care. He's like one foot in the grave.
Yeah, I mean, Hillary 8 years ago really, really – you know, it was very. I think it was very clear that she was going to come back later on, whether it was 4 or 8 years, depending on how the year worked out. But she wasn't done there, and she knew there was something for her.
But the other thing is, you don't do things because there's a you know, something in it for you in 4 or 8 years. You do it because it's the right thing to do. You do it because you don't want Donald Trump to be elected president. And Bernie, to my mind, never went far enough this week. And by the way, I want to speak to that age thing because something very interesting happened on Real Time with Bill Maher on Friday night. Bill was interviewing Bernie. Did anybody else see this?
No, but you mentioned it. I saw this on your page, but I didn't get
I
to
wrote
watch
a blog about it. Please go to moreperfectunionpodcast.com and you can read my blog about it. Bill Maher was interviewing Bernie Sanders, and in the middle of the interview he says, and hey, you know, different people age differently. I don't know why people talk about your age. I don't see any reason why you couldn't run again in 4 years. Well, my God, Bill Maher, that's the exact wrong message to be sending to the Bernie or Busters who were just about to come over, who are now thinking, hey, you know what? Maybe if I vote for Jill Stein or Gary Johnson or even Donald Trump. And so what if Trump wins? Okay, so he fills a Supreme Court seat or two, but
or
in 4 years,
three.
Bernie will win, and the revolution continues, and all will be right with the universe. We don't need more of those people. Bill Maher gets 4.5 to 5 million viewers a week. And if even a couple of thousand people hear that and go, you know, on second thought, I'm not going to vote for Hillary Clinton. I'll wait 4 years for Bernie. Those are thousands of votes that we need in swing states. And I got to tell you, I was really disappointed in Maher for that.
Yeah, but Bernie or Bust people don't watch Bill Maher. It's the Big Johnson people. It's the Big Johnson people. His viewership is full of libertarians who are like, oh, you know, we're self-made people. Bill Maher speaks to me.
I'd like to see the demographic breakdown.
I would like to see the demographic breakdown, but you know, I don't really see him as the average Bernie Buster. And you're right. I really wish Bernie would have got out there and been more enthusiastic with his speech and been like, she's it. She's the real deal. But it was very tepid. And it was
well,
sort of
I think
like,
part of the problem is you've got a lot of people on the Democratic side who don't see her as the real deal. She's at best a mediocre seat filler who, I will say from a Democratic perspective, is better than Donald Trump, but that's almost damning with faint praise.
You know, I can see your point, but there were a lot of people who gave the speech of their life, such as the president's wife, and they gave great speeches. Oh, and President Clinton, who gave real – Al Franken, Booker.
Sarah Silverman.
Sarah Silverman's speech when she went off.
She was awful.
Yeah, I didn't care
for her. It was so awkward. It's like they're just kidding. We're going to have a kumbaya message.
Yeah, but there were a lot of people who gave really touching, incredible speeches. The little girl. Oh, my gosh, who was touching, who wanted to grow up, but her parents. And the Khan family, who really were like, this is it. This is a great president. And I was, like, touched, and even her speech. But you're right. There were a lot of people in the party who are very tepid but are still willing to, you know, sell those goods.
I'd like to hear what the two Republicans thought of the DNC convention.
I was a little jealous because you guys had some really cool guests. We were right down there with like Kathy Griffin, My Life on the D List. You know,
Scott Baio wasn't enough for you.
Hey,
no.
It could have been worse. We could have been stuck with Bieber. I actually want to send a thank you letter to his manager for saving us from that.
I will say this, though, is that I feel like even though I don't agree with the messaging per se, obviously, because, you know, I'm Republican, is I like the way they presented the flow of information, how they created excitement. They did little vignettes throughout the convention. Obviously, the messaging is way off to my values and beliefs, but I did appreciate how it was put together and how it was communicated and how there seemed to be a message of hope and freedom. And that's probably why I really like John Kasich. So
what did you think, Cliff? Did you get to watch much of it, or did you TiVo it?
I watched several chunks of it. I didn't watch it all, like, you know, with the Republican convention where I was there. You know, I will say seeing Bill Clinton playing with the balloons like a little kid was awesome.
Sure.
But, you know, I will say that the first day booing seems to almost be a tradition at this point. That,
yeah, I hope it doesn't stick.
Well, and a lot of it is because you've got a lot of delegates there who are there, I'll say, for Bernie, who, you know what, they show up, they spend several thousand dollars to go to the convention, you know, flying in, et cetera, and then there is literally no purpose for them to be there in some respects, and that results in rowdy kids. Now, that being said, I think the Democrats did a pretty good job of handling the, you know, the visuals and so forth. It was probably slightly better than the Republicans. I will go ahead and grant that. If only because, again, as you said, who they were able to draw in, that they were able to draw in some A-list or at least high B-list people.
What did you all think of Hillary's speech?
I think Michelle Obama did 10 times better.
Well, Michelle Obama is, like, awesome. I mean, yeah.
I hate to say that, but the same way I felt about Trump at the Republican convention, because I was there and I listened to it, I was expecting more from him, and I honestly was expecting a little bit more from Clinton. She didn't seem relieved. I thought I would see some relief in her where she would relax a little bit more, and I don't feel like I saw that.
No, I hate to ask Kevin what he thought, because he's been doodling her name with his last name. He's been writing Hillary Rodham Kelton all night in the sides of his notes and stuff like that. But what do you think of her speech?
Obviously, she is not the orator that Barack Obama is. She does not incite the emotion of a Joe Biden.
And that malarkey line by Joe Biden?
Which was great.
And the "you're fired"? How does anyone take pleasure from the line "you're fired"?
Yeah, no, Joe was wonderful. Going back to your question about Hillary, I thought she gave, for her, an exceptional speech. Will it go down in great oratory? Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. No, there were no lines like that. But for her, I think she hit it out of the park.
I know three different women. My wife.
You do?
Is included. Yes, yes. Two of them are real, by the way.
Do you have women in binders?
Yes, I have women in binders and one in a bookshelf. But I know three women who listened to the speech and teared up when they thought, like, oh my gosh. First female president nomination of a major – first nomination of a female president of a major party. And they were like, this could actually happen. And it was through that speech. I mean, it was like they all said the same thing. They listened to it and they didn't expect it to happen. And then listening to it, they all welled up with tears. They're like, we were always told we could be president since like 1920, but this is actually like – a possibility. This is like for realsies now. And
a lot of people, well, Donald Trump made a point that he got a little over 1 million more viewers for his acceptance speech than Hillary did. But if you look at the 4-day ratings, the DNC got many, many, many millions more. I've been trying to do the math on paper, and frankly, while I'm listening to you guys, I haven't been able to do it exactly. But it's somewhere between 10 and 20 million more viewers over 4 days than the Republicans got. And also, let's remember that.
So does that mean Republicans have more jobs? Or no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Yes, they're too busy to watch at night. And let's face it, a lot of Democrats tuned in to see what Trump would say and how he would do. So I got to tell you, I think the DNC comes out of this very strong. I think they got their message across to a broader audience. I think there's still the perception that the DNC had a lot of political stars, entertainment stars, and was unified, whereas the Republicans were pretty much the Trump family show and the Ted Cruz speech. Those are the two things that you take away from it. So, you know, again, I think it'll be interesting to see what the polls say this coming week, but I don't think that tells the full story.
Do you think that by the end of the week we achieved unity and there will be a bounce?
There are going to be some polls that show Hillary ahead. There are going to be a couple of polls that show Trump ahead. But in the light blue states or the purple states, I think you're going to see her solidify her leads there, which means that Trump really is going to have to run the table on the four or five swing states that everybody's talking about. And well, we're going to talk a little bit later about the electoral maps. Well, I know you're not sure, Cliff. You're wrong, but that's okay. Go ahead.
But I mean, we've had a couple of polls come out, and they're showing very little movement. Now, they obviously, the convention
hasn't registered yet.
You can say that, but you know, some of these are Friday, Saturday only polls. So, in theory, at least the convention is over with.
Okay.
So, you know, how long is it supposed to take to register? Is the first thing I have to ask. The second thing is, the negatives on everybody are so high. I'm not sure how much room there was for Hillary to move the needle, if you will, even with a really good presentation.
Well,
and you know, and it wasn't a bad presentation, but I just don't think there's that much room for her to move it. And of course, you had the stray, you know, interjections from the Bernie people and so on.
Yeah, no, you're right. And again, we're all just guessing here, and
oh yeah,
and we'll know in 3 weeks or 2 weeks whether you were right or whether I was right. Or whether Emily should have been sitting with Kathy Griffin. But we'll know more in 2 weeks.
Actually, think you guys just want to court me to be a Democrat. That's what I think you want.
I am working on it. And I frankly, I really think that I have a shot. I don't know whether it's going to happen in this election cycle. But I really believe, Emily, that someday you will be a Democrat or lean Democrat.
Are you kidding? After the next election cycle, when Scott Baio is your presidential...
Okay, I will go ahead and go on record.
And you're like, hey, when is your guys' meetings? And you know.
I will go on record to say if Scott Baio is ever a vice president or a presidential nominee, I will leave the Republican Party, okay? Go ahead. Signed, sealed, delivered. Done.
And if he gets elected, will you leave the country?
Well, you know, there are some really cheap islands for sale in Canada, so it's a possibility.
Oh, Canada's beautiful this time of year.
Now, speaking of foreigners, there was a couple that spoke at the DNC. I was trying to find a segue there to the cons.
Yeah, actually, I think they're American, but go on.
I know they are. Although, no, didn't he come to this country?
Yeah, he's an immigrant.
Okay. But his son was born in the United States and is an American war hero. And the Khan's mom is their son's mother is
a Gold Star family.
Gold Star family, that's right. But we now have an interesting feud brewing between the Trump family and the Khan family, the new Hatfields versus the McCoys.
It was a very touching speech at the DNC, if you didn't see it. Khazar Khan spoke about his son, who he's a Muslim immigrant whose son was a Muslim. He fought in the war and he died. And he said, you know, and he spoke directly to Donald Trump. He said, you're trying to take away the rights of Muslims. You're trying to ban Muslims from entering the country. He goes, have you read the Constitution? If not, you can borrow my copy. And it was like this moment that really kind of stood out. And when the press asked Trump, well, how do you feel about this guy? He, instead of saying, well, I feel sorry for his family, for his loss, you know, I'm sure his son was a good person, he went right on the attack. And he said, you know, I noticed his wife didn't talk. I'm not saying it's a cultural thing, but I think it was a cultural thing. I'm not saying that, but how come his wife didn't talk?
Like the implication being was that she's really a Donald Trump fan, but you know they somehow shut her up.
No. But the implication is that she for cultural reasons that it, you know the women shouldn't speak was the implication he was going for.
So he was going for this: women are subservient in Muslim countries, and he's really a feminist in his own. I'm not kidding, by the way. He later on said, you know, when it was implied, he said, you know, I've made sacrifices too. Trump said, you know, I've made sacrifices too. I've made lots of jobs for this country. That was the quote. You know, and you have to remember, Donald Trump evaded the draft several times by saying he had flat feet.
Let's ask Cliff. Cliff, what do you think about Trump's statement, I've made sacrifices too?
I don't think him wandering into this debate in the way that he did was the smartest move he's made during the campaign.
But he did it. So now how do you feel about your candidate?
Okay, and by the way, Cliff, I'm going to put that in my book as that's the understatement of the year. So, and by the way, that's not going to be the first time you say, yeah, I don't think he should have wandered into that one.
Right, but I mean, and frankly, both sides, you know, when we do this, if I say I don't think it was the smartest thing for Hillary to do, you know,
I've said that was the understatement of
right.
the year,
you have every right to come back and say, but she did such and such. What do you think of that? So that's what I'm saying to you. It's not so much for us to go, I don't think it's the smartest thing. These are our candidates, and this is what they're doing on a weekly basis. They're each either putting their foot in their mouth or some, you know, new little scandal is coming out. And we're beyond saying, I don't think it was the smartest thing anymore. We have to be able to say, yes, I'm still going to vote for him, even though he's done this.
And I am.
And I know you are. And, and that's what I'm going to, frankly, and I'll be very upfront about it, I'm going to keep challenging you on those things.
Right. Unless we can get you to come to the Democrat side. Did I mention that Democrats have a meeting every Monday where we serve pancakes? So think about that, Cliff.
You guys have a Monday morning when us hard Republicans are working, right?
Oh, rub that in our faces.
It's part of our union.
Yes. So. No, you're right. You're right. There are no Democrats that have jobs.
Totes kidding, guys. So let's talk about, let's move on to another country, if you will.
But wait. Before we finish that, I want to add one more thing. That was part of the Hillary speech when she said Donald Trump wasn't ready because he can get egged on by a tweet. Baited by a tweet. And this would be another example where he just doesn't think. And he's like, oh, well, I think I'm going to, you know, let's get on with this. And let's, you know, I think I'm just going to shoot from the hip. And do you think this speaks to his, I don't want to use the word maturity, you know, when he just
temperament, I think, is what you're thinking of.
Yes.
Okay, that's the word. Thank you.
You know the best and worst part about Trump is he says the things that a lot of people, a lot of voters are thinking yet won't say. But here's my biggest problem is that when you become the president, Barack Obama is my president. He is your president. I respect the office, and he needs to act presidential. That is his problem.
Yep. But the thing is, I think he's kind of shown that he's not going to get there.
It's like that skit by Key and Peele about angry Obama.
Yeah, or, right. What he'd really like to say, yeah.
What he'd really like to
say. Unfiltered, yeah.
Right, but here, you know, he says this, and then you have a guy behind him saying, this is what I really mean. But he doesn't because he's the, president.
I mean, I will say the one thing that is refreshing about it is even if he doesn't always pick the best fights, at least it's somebody who's willing to fight. And that's something that there is all too often a lack of in the political arena writ large to actually get into the gutter. And
why is that a good thing? Why is that a good thing? Why do you want a president who picks fights and stands up to people who maybe that's not the best approach?
Because of what the alternative is, because we've seen the alternative be, you know, George W. Bush, who at so many times was more concerned with, yes, we're invading Iraq, but let's try and please the rest of the world rather, you know. Now, granted, I think the invasion of Iraq was a mistake, but that's also with the benefit of hindsight, and I was 16 at the time. I'm tired of seeing, well, Merkel's going to let in, you know, is going to turn around and basically bash up the European Union, and oh, let's just let them do that. That is what I feel we see with so many politicians, and I'm glad to see somebody who's willing to say, no, this is, you know, X is stupid. X is stupid is not something we hear very often from on high, and it's refreshing.
Well, what about Mr. Trump's latest statements about the Ukraine? He said Putin will not be going into the Ukraine, and Putin's already in the Ukraine. He's in Crimea, and that's been pointed out to him, and then he said, oh, yeah, well, he won't be there when I'm president. What do you think about that?
I tend to agree with Trump's inclination to recognize the fact that Russia controls the Ukraine. There is no way this is changing anytime soon, short of actually going to war with Russia. I am reminded of a comment that was made in the 1940s by, I think it was Winston Churchill, when he was getting complaints that the U.S. was that Britain was looking to recognize, I believe it was the communist governments in Eastern Europe. He commented, well, for example, we all recognize the member for insert constituency here who he absolutely hated. Russia controls the Crimea. It might as well be Russian at this point.
Why doesn't your candidate know that?
Well, I think I think his thought when he started in on Russia's not going to go into Ukraine is, well, Crimea is already part of Russia. They've already voted to ask to join Russia. That's not the Ukraine anymore. I also think he's saying very clearly that no, the Russian army is not going to go openly marching into the Ukraine. Now, let's not get started about the little green men. But
so Trump wasn't the only one who had a bad week. At the very beginning of the week, there was a huge leak of information about all the bad things the DNC did.
Well, okay? Yeah, they didn't do a lot of bad things, but go ahead. What's your point?
Oh, I know. This is – yeah, well. Anyways, this all comes around, and this they did, and we should talk a little bit about that before we go to the Trump ties, okay? Because that's important too. So the very beginning of the week, right before the convention began, we talked a little bit about the outing of Debbie Wasserman Schultz, but we really didn't talk because there was a giant leak of the DNC emails, and they actually did show some prefer. And I'm going to be nice, and I'll be presidential, if we will, and say. There was some preferential treatment towards the Clinton campaign. And in addition, there was some shots at Bernie Sanders' religion. You know, they were like, how could we use his religion against him? I think there were even some other smaller scandals.
No. I want to address this because this is another one of my many, many pet peeves. So it's Kevin's pet peeve corner. There was one email out of 20,000. Where I think the CFO of the Democratic National Committee made a comment suggesting that Bernie may not be truly Jewish, he may be an atheist, and that if that was to go public, that could be used to hurt him in Kentucky and West Virginia. That was inappropriate, inexcusable, and that person, frankly, is the one who should have lost his job. That is the only email that I know of, and I've read up on this extensively, that suggests any real scheming or attempt to affect the outcome of any primaries, which, by the way, are two primaries that Sanders won handily. So you can't say that the DNC tipped the scales in favor of Sanders because he won those primaries.
No, I'm just
and
saying.
There is nothing else. And I've been on Facebook all week long to people who talk about this saying, do me a favor, aside from the Jewish email, just give me the content of two or three emails that show that the DNC actually rigged the system. No one can do it because there's nothing. There's just some catty comments from DNC officials who by late April, when it was quite obvious that Hillary Clinton was going to be the Democratic nominee, were getting pissed off that the Sanders campaign kept taking publicity swipes at them, and they were commenting about it to and from themselves. There was no effort to affect the outcome, to change the outcome, to be unfair to him. They were just being catty and gossipy. And while it's bad form, it doesn't show anything was rigged.
No, and I agree. Nothing was rigged. I agree 100%. And to be quite honest, why wouldn't the DNC try, even if they could, why wouldn't they rig a system with a candidate who for 30 years raised money for them, had open connections with them?
Okay, but let's not obscure the fact that they didn't do it. I don't want to lead our foreign listeners who maybe aren't as familiar with this. They didn't do it.
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah, you could say.
I know, you're right.
I mean, I think the question is, why shouldn't they have been upset with Sanders? And I agree with you. I think they had every right to be upset with Sanders. His campaign, first of all, his campaign broke into their system, stole their information, and then publicly sued and lambasted the DNC for their own transgression. And then
I thought it was the Russians that
no, I'm talking about back in December or January
when there was
a data breach that the Sanders campaign instituted. They got access through the DNC to, I think, the Clinton email file or some kind of Clinton files, and they downloaded it, which was against the rules. And when they were caught, and when the DNC tried to discipline them for it, they went on the warpath against the DNC and sued them. Okay.
By the way, can I make a suggestion here that Wasserman Schultz losing her job over this, this was more of a convenient excuse to ditch somebody who was setting up to be something of an embarrassment at the convention than it was actually having her get sacked over this?
Well, I think it served both purposes. I agree with you. I don't think they I don't think they went, oh my gosh, we lost Debbie Wasserman Schultz, you know, we're lost without her.
Yeah, and I think the fallout for this worked out. I mean, because of that, Debbie Wasserman Schultz got sacked, and the platform got shifted even further to the left. I mean, the delegate system is now 2/3 less. A lot of the things that, you know, the progressives really pushed for, such as it's now, what is it, the Bernie educational free college tuition
for people who earn a middle class income under $125,000,
which they're shooting for by the year, like soon. I can't remember what.
It starts at a lower income rate and then moves up a little bit. But you're right. Aside from TPP, which the platform didn't specifically call out as them being against TPP, aside from that, the Sanders campaign got everything in the platform that they wanted.
Everything.
They won every other point.
Everything except Bernie Sanders as president. I mean, it's incredible. That was the fallout. But here was the second fallout. So at the DNC. Cliff, you have any ideas or thoughts on this one?
Who hacked?
Say that again. The signal cut out for a second.
Who hacked the DNC?
Who hacked the DNC and why? This is our little game of Clue.
Oh, frankly, I do think it was the Russians. Okay. Almost all the evidence is pointing out there. My understanding is that the, you know, I'll say forensic evidence on the computers points to it being Russian craft. Now, whether this was the Russian government officially or some rogue, quote unquote, rogue group within the Kremlin, kind of like you have the quote unquote rogue Chinese in Shanghai who always seem to be following orders. That's anybody's guess, but I do think it was Russian affiliated.
Okay. Do you think – now, I honestly believe that the Trump campaign had nothing to do with this.
That I agree with.
I agree. I mean, I just don't see this as another Watergate.
Disagree. But, disagree.
Okay. But do you believe that there was a Russian group who said this would be a way to help Trump? Because that I do believe.
Yes.
Okay, I do too. I believe that at some point a Russian group said, you know what, I can't do a Russian accent. I'm not going to do that to y'all.
You know, this would be very helpful to Donald Trump.
Yes, we'll get Moose and Squirrel and Trump elected. And I honestly believe that someone, Paul Manafort, said, oh, we did not need this. And he probably was excited for the first like 10 minutes and he goes, oh, Russians. And then he probably swore. Because
he has a lot of experience working in Eastern Europe.
Right.
Yes, he does. Exactly. Yes, he does.
And he's like, yeah. And he probably had a talk with Trump. And he goes, all right, Trump, show your taxes because you're clean and you've never done anything in Russia. And Trump goes, well, I've actually did a couple things in Russia.
You know what, guys, though? The proof is going to be in the pudding. Like, you know, we're talking about all these little things that, you know, we're so into, but the voters are going to forget. We have debates coming up, and that's when people are going to start making their minds up, you know? I mean, the DNC emails and Russia and all these things, the average voters don't pay attention probably like they should.
Emily, you are so right. You are absolutely right. Go on.
And I think the debates are going to be a really good opportunity for, you know, us to really see who these people are and see how Trump takes on Clinton or vice versa.
Which brings us to the other scandal of today, which is that the Trump campaign is trying to blame the Clinton campaign for the fact that two of the debates fall on nights when there are NFL football games being aired. And here's the thing. This debate schedule was determined in September of last year without the Clinton campaign having any input into it. And yet,
that presumes that the DNC was not willing to act as a proxy for the Clinton campaign and presume that she was going to be the nominee.
Well, wait a second. What about the RNC? Didn't they have some input into this? Maybe they were acting as a proxy for their candidate.
Well, debates end up on event nights the Democrats.
Why did the DNC back in September think we want to hide our candidate, but the RNC didn't think we want to hide our candidate? Why is it the DNC that's at fault?
You know, honestly, the RNC didn't quote-unquote know who their candidate was going to be, and I'll tell you, there were a lot of people at RNC headquarters who were praying that it was going to be somebody else,
The
Democrats...
So the RNC couldn't wait to get in front of the American people, but the Democrats were afraid that Hillary Clinton might be seen
Clinton
in front of the American people.
Yeah, right. Right. Oh, please.
But out of curiosity, how many people think the RNC chairperson... with the first name of Reince, actually knows which days NFL football is on?
Well, everybody knows Monday has Monday Night Football.
Right, yeah. Unless your name is Reince. And then, there's yachting on Thursday, and then there's cricket on Tuesday morning, of course, and I'm sure there's... Oh, I think Monday night's pretty clear. I only have champagne testing out of, you know, live gophers.
All the vowels out of the RNC chair's name, it spells RNCPRBS.
That was his entire resume when he turned it in.
Okay, so we kind of have to wrap this up. We're running a little long, so... instead of making predictions on who the vice presidential nominees are going to be, because I think we kind of know.
Oh, Tim Kaine.
I'm going to ask everybody to go around the table and tell us what you think the next controversy or big scandal is going to be that should happen probably in the next 3 to 5 hours.
Oh, I'll go first. I think nude photos of Bill Clinton will show up.
Okay.
Because we've seen Trump's wife, so to balance things out, Bill Clinton's pictures will show up, and amazingly, people will ignore them and try not to look at them. So I think that's what we'll
you.
See. Yes. Yes.
Cliff.
And oddly enough, Bill Clinton will be the source who's going to be putting them out.
Another Anthony Weiner. Okay. Cliff, any thoughts on what maybe on the Democratic side might be a little sore spot this coming week?
You know, I have to wonder what would happen if Trump actually did get those 30,000 emails courtesy of Moscow.
Mm. Oh, do you think like that would be like just a shitstorm of, well, I didn't know, I was just kidding, and, you know.
Yeah, that would be so wonderfully awkward in so many ways, because on the one hand... we've got this wonderful dump. On the other hand, you know, be careful what you wish for.
Emily, do you have any premonitions about what might happen this week, either in politics or in my love life?
In your love life, your last name is not going to change to Clinton. And I will imagine that something awful will happen on Twitter, and I think it'll happen on Wednesday because I'm feeling really psychic now that Dionne Warwick is gone.
Dionne Warwick is gone?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she died this week.
Oh, my God.
No.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
That is sad.
Okay, I somehow missed that.
So did I.
Well, my guess is that Dionne Warwick is coming back to life this week. I'm very optimistic in that regard.
No, wait a minute. Maybe she didn't die. Maybe it was a false thing.
Oh, okay.
I just looked it up.
Okay, for all our listeners, Dionne Warwick is still alive. Okay,
yes, let's not start one of those rumors that takes
Holy
off.
Holy crap.
Totally saw it on Twitter. Sorry, guys.
Okay.
See the bad things that happen on Twitter? See?
You're right.
Oh, my gosh.
Now if she dies,
right, everyone,
you're going to feel really
say
guilty.
A little prayer for Dionne Warwick.
And with that, we want to, first of all, I want to thank all you guys for a great 40 minutes of discussion, actually 45 minutes of discussion.
No problem, Kevin. That's Friends Are For.
That's what Friends Are For, another Dionne Warwick song. Cliff, I apologize for yelling at you, but it won't be the last time.
Oh, I sure hope not.
When DJ isn't here, I have to let it out on someone. And I want to again thank our listeners. If you haven't done it yet, please rate and review us on iTunes because that helps us get more listeners. Find us on the web at moreperfectunionpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/moreperfectunionpodcast. And please share our link on your Facebook feeds so your friends can hear about us and become part of our family. With that, it's been a fantastic week. We plan to have some great political guests coming up in the next few weeks, so it won't be just us, but we're going to be bringing on people from the world of politics and people with all points of view. We promise you that. So with that, have a great week, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.
And we love you, Dion.
We have issues.